benchmark of our church and the potential to help a city, a county that desperately needs help. Would you make welcome to this pulpit Brother Griffith as he comes tonight?
Thank you so much. 40-something years ago, on 15th Southeast, Brother and Sister Nation lived there at the end. They were my grandparents. And about three houses north was a family that was involved in this church, and their name was Christian. And there was a little girl one day when I visited that family. I believe she had a broke leg. She's about this tall and had little crutches. And she's here tonight, Cheryl Christian. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We are living for the world in uncertain times. But for us, the church, we're living in the most exciting times that there ever was. I once had a person told me, said, I wished we could have lived during Paul, Peter, and those people, those apostles. I told them, I said, I wouldn't trade nothing for where I'm at right now, because we're going to see the glory of the Lord. We're going to see heaven come down. Hallelujah. The world today, I feel so sorry for them, because as the fear grips their hearts and they hear their ministers preach and they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They are expecting Jesus Christ to split the clouds and come back to the earth. That's not what it is going to happen. Jesus was born to come and set you and I free. He was to die on a cross, which he did. But what we're going to do, he's preparing a church. He's preparing a people that are called by his name. And he is going to call them out of here to meet him in the air. And we will forever be there. And 7 years after that, he's coming back to earth. And then that's when the tribulation starts. But I want you to know tonight, I am so thankful to know where the church is at tonight. I am so thankful to know what the address of the people is in Paris, Texas. This congregation, you are being led by a pastor that loves God, his wife loves God, his family loves God. And they're excited about the return of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're here for tonight. We're here to make ourselves ready. We're here to be fine-tuned so that we can hear that shout of the archangel and hear that last trumpet sound. That's what we are here for tonight. Daniel was told to seal up the prophecies and not to reveal anything else, because it was going to take place at the end time. John was told, the revelator, not to write anymore. Don't reveal anything else. And then Paul said, I didn't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but I know I went to the third heaven. And he was called on not to say nothing about what he saw. In Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, Jesus describes what will take place at the end of the church age. Says that they will have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. And we're living right now in that time. Let me shout it out loud to you tonight, and let me make it clear. We are living in the time of the end, the very last days, just before Jesus Christ comes back in the clouds to call his church off of this earth. Can I hear some rejoicing words out there? Some rejoicing. Would you praise the Lord with me? Hallelujah. We are seeing things happen that no man has ever seen. So those prophecies are being fulfilled that was told to hush, don't say nothing else. But we are seeing those things come to pass. Hurricanes, wildfires, floods, mass killings, perverted minds working evil and hatred for things of God. And all of that is happening like we've never seen it before. Praise God. I'm thanking the Lord tonight that we should not. Young people, don't be fearful for what I'm saying tonight. Rejoice with me. Just make sure that you are in tune with God tonight, that you're ready to meet Him in the air. Jesus said, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'm speaking of the present day. I'm speaking of the present hour, the present minute, the present second, the present millisecond that we're living in right now. Jesus is coming for His church to get His bride out of this world and get us out of all of this trouble. And if you will, if you'll shout it out to the Lord, I thank you for listening to me, but I want you to know tonight that I feel firm in my beliefs and what the Word of God says, that He is about to split the clouds of glory. Can you lift your hands and worship the Lord? Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm thankful for a church family. I'm thankful for a pastor and for Brother Griffith and all the different ministries that are in this place tonight. I'm thankful for that. I don't ever want to take that for granted. Tonight, I just want to start off just for a second. I wouldn't feel right getting up here and talking about youth without bragging on them a little bit. So I just want to say that we have the most incredible youth group in the world. Their faithfulness, their dedication, they're talented, they're just incredible. They're unique, and I'm excited about leading them and guiding them and feel honored to have this opportunity. And thank you, parents that keep pushing, grandparents and aunts and uncles and all of y'all. Thank y'all for all the support that y'all provide for me as well as the youth group and everything. I just want to start out and say that we kind of already began our mission for next year, but we're going to grow and go further. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, grow. Say it loud. Say, grow. Grow. All right, now we're getting somewhere. So I'm believing that 2018 for this youth group and this church is going to be, we are going to grow to places that we have not grown before. We're going to grow deeper in our personal prayer life as well as working on our obedience. And everyone kind of got a little quiet. obedience, expectation. Don't you feel like those two are pretty important? I feel like the Bible makes them a pretty good point. Expectation, sacrifice, and depth in the knowledge of why we do what we do. I am expecting phenomenal things next year. I'm expecting growth in every single one of those areas. I don't know about y'all, but I'm also planning on growing in numbers. But if we grew to 100, but nobody knew how to, none of these young people knew how to walk into their school and fight a fight, spiritually, that is, spiritually fight spirits, then what good are we doing? I would rather have 50 soldiers in the Lord's army that knew how to walk in to places that had no light, and they were not afraid to walk in and be the light to their community, the light to their school, the light to their workplace. Everywhere that they walk in, they aren't afraid to go in and fight a spiritual battle. And so I just am excited, and that is our goal and plan for next year. And I can't get my phone back on to see the rest of what I wrote down there. Okay, technology. But I'm believing that this coming year we'll see growth in a mighty way. I can't wait to see what God has in store for our youth, as well as for the parents. I'm realizing a year in how connected that this church is. So many of y'all are family members to each other. And I'm like, I know that y'all think that I knew this because I somewhat grew up in this church. But in the past year, I have realized that there are relations in this church that I had no clue that there were relationships. And so I'm just ecstatic about where our youth are going. I don't believe this thing that our youth aren't really as good as what the past generations have been. I don't believe that they may not be as smart. I actually believe, Sister Abby and I were driving down the road the other day. I got to thinking, I was like, man, these youth use their brain a lot. And I just said that, and I was just thinking about it, because they're all the time doing something. Even me, like, I'm a little, like a half a generation maybe ahead of them or something, not very far ahead of them. But I like kind of some peace and quiet and to let my brain rest. But they are constantly using their brain. And at first I was like, man, that is probably a bad thing. But then I think about the fact of how magnificent the brain is. So I got to thinking about, what if these young people take this mind that just won't stop? It won't stop thinking. And they start digging into the Word of God. They start living for God consistently. Just, I'm not taking my mind off. How far will they go? They've gone a long ways in technology. They've gone a long ways with all these other different creations and inventions that they're coming up with. I believe that it's time for us to go that deep in the Word of God, that deep in our spiritual walk with God, and have that kind of effect on a world that needs affected. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. It is Noah's son, Ham, that drew my attention, and his youngest son, Canaan, that I began to read a little bit about here recently, that possessed and lived in what the children of Israel could only think about, what was denied them when they were in the wilderness for 40 years. But there was a generation that rose up with Joshua and Caleb that believed what the leader had to say. The leader presented them the argument that it doesn't matter what it is, we can conquer what is rightfully ours. For we have a covenant called the Abrahamic covenant that is within us, and it will go before us and give us victory no matter what the circumstance may be. And as those people drew together, it did not matter the enemy. It did not matter that the king Og of Bashan was the giants. It didn't matter those great giants in Bashan. They were going to be victorious over them. It didn't matter that the mountainous warlike people of Jerusalem laid before them. They were going to be victorious over them. It didn't matter if they were the Amalekites or the Amorites or the Hivites and the Hittites and the Jebusites. It didn't matter. It didn't matter that it was the king of Dor or Debir or Ai. It did not matter. It didn't matter if it was Hezron and all of these cities that presented them the obstacle of getting and attaining what was rightfully theirs. They had the Abrahamic covenant that said, where you walk, I will give it to you. What you possess, it is yours. It didn't matter that they were not numbered like the others. It didn't matter what king was there. It didn't matter that they did not have a king. They had a God that said, I will give you what is yours. I have designed it and I am proclaiming it to you. I would say to you that it doesn't matter what your circumstance is. It doesn't matter what the condition of your family is. It does not matter. Let it be said, we have a messianic covenant on our behalf now, that where we go, he has already been. And what we do and what has been given to us, I'm telling you, it's ours. I would present to you that the number of kings and lands that lay before them were 31. I'm glad that the first month of the new year has 31 days. I don't know what king is your obstacle on January the 4th of this year, but I promise you, if you sit down, you could list 31 things or obstacles you need God to move in. Could I present to you, as those people got themselves together in unity, got themselves submitted to a leader, and they were sitting there and obeyed what God had said, I want you to be quiet. And then on the seventh day, I want you to start worshiping me, and it's going to start as a tidal wave. Once it started, sin was dealt with quickly at Ai. But once it started, 31 kings had to submit to the authority of God's people. I can tell you this, that if we between now and January the 31st would get ourselves in sackcloth and ashes and wrap ourselves in repentance and submission and develop an appetite and a hunger for God, I promise you, come January 1st, for the first 31 days of January, you can slay any king, you can slay any obstacle or enemy in your way. So this is what I want you to do. Somewhere between now and then, get a piece of paper, get a pencil. If you got to get your family down and write 31 things that you're going to pray about every single day of January. And look at it. Day one, I know that that is some kind of tough. I don't know how you're going to do it, God. But if you gave them 31 kings, you're going to give me 31 days of miracles. I don't know how it's all going to happen. Doesn't matter. You got a messianic covenant on your behalf. And it starts. As I was praying last night, I felt a tidal wave. I said, God, let there be a tidal wave that starts within each person, and that'll get a hold of every family member. Then it gets a hold of the church, and then the tidal wave grows and gets larger like a tsunami. You know how a tsunami starts? A little earthquake at the bottom of the ocean as the earth begins to rumble. The water puts themselves in a place that it has to give way to the energy of what's taking place under. And then a wave starts. And once that wave starts, it cannot be stopped. I'm telling you, I'll leave you tonight. There can be a tidal wave that starts January 1st. And 31 things of the 31 days of Jericho, January, we are going to pray them. We're going to submit to God. They are mine in you. If you believe it, I want you to raise your hand right now and ask God, let it be done as I submit to your will in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Let's just praise the Lord and exalt him a little farther with that hand clap. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You can be seated. As we look into 2018, I propose it's time for the church to come to the realization that we are a people of shadow. It's not something of the past. There are those dark shadows, but there's those godly shadows. There's those shadows of heaviness, but then there's shadows of victory and of joy. And in Acts, the 5th chapter, it was written, insomuch in the 15th verse, that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. Can I tell you, I believe in 2018, it's time for the church to realize the power of the Holy Ghost in us. It's not something to be read about back in the early book of Acts, but it is simply a pattern for the church to walk in. And in this house represents people of victory. People who were in sin, but they're not in sin anymore. People who were in bondage, but they're not in bondage anymore. People who were depressed, but they're not depressed anymore. People who were on drugs and alcohol, but they're delivered. People who were fear, and they were captivated by things of this world, but now those things, those shackles don't hold them anymore. And it is time for the church to realize the reason some people like to have coffee with you, they like to feel your shadow. The reason some people come to church with you occasionally, but they're not committed, it's because they like the shadow of God's people. The reason some people like to take their lunch break when you do is they like your shadow. They don't understand, but yet they make themselves available and they lay themselves in a coffee shop with you. You walk through and they greet you in the midst of all their friends sitting around because they like the presence of victory and of joy that flows through. They don't always understand what's happening. Everyone that laid on the streets for Peter to walk by did not understand the full apostolic message, but they liked the spirit of the shadow. And can I tell you, the shadow led thousands of people to the kingdom. And there's a, don't you underestimate your shadow in 2018. And let God take that seed of life and work it. And victory and harvest is ours. It is time the church, this morning, for 2 weeks in a row, I had a following of 4 families come to church to hear me preach in another city. They drove, not to say anything for me, but it's simply the fact they're not part of a church. They're not tied in. And they don't understand it all. But can I tell you, those families are going to come to the beautiful name of Jesus in baptism one day. And they're going to walk into the infilling of the Holy Ghost one day. It's not me, but it is a shadow of God. And you've got people following you. And the you need to realize it. And don't take it as prideful. Just take it as God's glory flowing through you. Oh, it's something to be praised of, that God would exalt you. And it's time for the church to receive an elevation of confidence in this hour. We have let the enemy quiet us. We have let the enemy depress us. We have let the enemy just suppress us. But it's time for you to rise up and with a holy boldness say, praise God, they wanted to come hear me sing. Praise God, they wanted to have coffee with me. Praise God, they wanted to come to the... Because it's your shadow. And I tell you, you've got a shadow that's going with you tomorrow when you've been in a service like this. And hell is trembling. Don't wake up tomorrow morning worrying about Monday when you know Satan is begging God not to let you wake up. Because he's scared to death of your shadow tomorrow. 2018 is our year for the church. God's harvest is greater, it's bigger, and it's better than it's ever been. This is the year of the church. It's been good, but let me tell you, it's getting better. God is coming, and if He comes in 2018, there's going to be a marvelous harvest. But if He waits another 20 years, it's going to be more powerful, more glorious than ever before.
Stand together. The singers are coming. We heard the vision of the singers, the worship leaders. Revival outpouring. We've heard the vision of our youth pastor, of our hospital pastor, our assistant to the pastor, and our evangelist pastor. We've heard from God in our personal prayer meetings. And I would like for those, first of all, that you sense that in the middle of what you've heard tonight, you could find victory for whatever you're going through. I'd like for you to come along with some of those that believe anybody can find victory. I'd like for at least 15 or 20 of you that can pray with passion, some people that need help. You join, come first. And then those of you that need some deliverance or some strength for what you're going through, I want you to come with those people. Come quickly if you will. You know who you are. If you believe God can deliver, get to the front if you will. And then those of you that would need a deliverance or you need a help, please come quickly. Let's don't delay tonight. There is a spirit of revival in this entire building. If you've allowed yourself to get a little cool, it'd be good tonight to warm up as the singers begin to entertain the presence of the Lord. And then as prayer warriors begin to travail in the Holy Ghost, and as the people of God begin to worship all over the building, let's let His victory sustain itself in the heart of every believer. What a powerful meeting we've already had. But it's going to become even more powerful because you're going to make it personal. I plead the blood of Jesus over every believer. I plead the blood of Jesus over every heart and every mind. In Jesus' name, let's worship Him. And let's turn His Spirit loose in this place for the next 5 minutes.
Shackles of my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise You. I just want to praise You. You broke the chains, now I can lift my hands. And I'm going to praise You. I'm going to praise You. Take the shackles of my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise You. I just want to praise You. Broke the chains, now I can lift my head. And I'm gonna praise You. And I'm gonna praise You.
In the corners of my mind, I just can't seem to find a reason to believe that I can break free. Cause You see, I've been bound for so long. It seemed all hope was gone, but as I lift my hands, I understand that I can praise Him through my circumstances.
Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. Oh, I just want to praise You. I just want to praise You. You broke the chains, now I can lift my hands. And I'm going to praise You. And I'm going to praise You. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just want to praise You. I just want to praise You. You broke the chains, now I can lift my hands. And I'm going to praise You. I'm going to praise You.
Everything that could go wrong all went wrong at one time. So much pressure fell on me, I thought I was going to lose my mind.
But I know You want to see if I can make it through these this truth. Oh, I need you to lift this love, cause I can't take it no more. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I just wanna praise you. I just wanna praise you, yeah. You broke the chains, now I can't in my head.
Could go wrong, all went wrong at one time. So much pressure fell on me. I thought I was gonna lose my mind.
But I know you wanna see if I can make it through these trials.